I have to say, technically, my department's name is Nutrition, Food Studies, and Public Health, so I don't want to offend my public health colleagues. Do people in New York know what a farm is? That's probably a comment for over beer rather than over my snazzy GIS presentation. I have a billion collaborators on this project. Laura Mersch, a graduate student at NYU, and Laura Hansen, a graduate student at Clark University, are the map-making wizards. And you'll see the role the other people play at the end. So I am going to follow on the theme of access to food, and I'm looking specifically at the smallest borough in New York City, Manhattan. And this work came out of some observations that I had on food access. Having looked through the literature, and I'll confess straight up that I came into this work from research I've done on organic consumers, about why organic consumers, you know, what they look like, why they bought organic food. And one striking result that I found was, holding all else constant, black households are much less likely to buy organic food. And so I kind of wondered, well, what is that about? So I, and this came out of work with the Nielsen Home Scan data, which gives purchases and demographic information on households. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe there's an access issue. So I made up this very crude measure of distance, a household's distance to Whole Foods. And I said, well, if you were within 5 miles of a Whole Foods, you had access to organic food. And if you were further, then you didn't have any. And lo and behold, I popped this into my model. And this negative coefficient on the black households pops to insignificance. So I thought, well, maybe I'm onto something here. Which brought me into this general food access literature that is kind of seems to be pretty popular in the public health literature now. And a lot of this work links demographic characteristics to the location of supermarkets. And pretty consistently, you find low-income neighborhoods have fewer supermarkets, or they have smaller supermarkets, or census tracts with a high proportion of minority households had poor access to supermarkets. So I think implicit in a lot of this literature is this notion that if you have a supermarket, you have healthy food. So that brings me to this other broad question that kind of runs around in my mind in my position at NYU, where I work with food studies students, and there's a lot of discussion about the food movement in New York. And I think what I take from this is there are these two goals that seem to be competing. We're concerned about hunger and food access, particularly for low-income people or people in urban areas or people in rural areas. You know, why is it that we have hungry and unhealthy people, you know, in a fairly affluent country? So there's this whole stream of work, and some of my colleagues here have talked about that already this morning or this afternoon. But at the same time, there's this drive towards sustainable farming, organic and local food, and sometimes it smacks of elitism. And I want to know, like, how do we fit these two pieces together as we're talking about making changes in the food world? And so I think the way I look at this is, I mean, maybe we can just ask the question as, should all people, regardless of their income, have access to organic food? And that's like a long thought. I'm just throwing that out there. So that brought me to this particular research. And so in this research, we look at access in a broader way. And we actually look at the availability of food in stores, organic food and healthy food, rather than measuring store location. And so you'll see this ambitious undertaking that we've done. And this really is at the first stage of trying to develop these spatially explicit models of food access and food availability. So Manhattan is 23 square miles. So we took Manhattan and we divided it into 25 areas. And in one of my classes, students went out very diligently and mapped the location of every store that sold liquid milk, but also, or fluid milk, I guess is its technical term, and also had looked like you could buy things to make food. So we took out places that were specifically takeout. We did not incorporate food carts, mainly because they move all around. And we did not include farmers markets because we did this in the winter. So the next phase was to go into those 1,260 stores with this data collection sheet. I hired six students to take this sheet And they went in January when last in 2011 when it was unbelievably cold and snowy, so kudos to them. And so we have 24 products on this list, and they identified whether there was a conventional version, organic version, how many brands there were, was there a local version, and for cases of some of these products, were they imported and what countries were they imported from. And so it's you can see this is looks mainly at dairy products and fresh fruits and vegetables, and we did include some meat, and we also have some frozen fruits and vegetables. And then some other information, how many cash registers and whether the stores accept WIC or SNAP, any kind of federal benefits, and how many days it's open. So we took this data and we converted this into measures of access within a store. So our as a first pass, we just picked a very simple measure and created these indices that talked about what percent of those 24 food products were available in the store. So the healthy food index has the percent of basically conventional versions of those products, and the organic index has a percent of those 24 products available in an organic version. I mean, this is a pretty huge undertaking. You really can't do it without enthusiastic graduate students who think this is, you know, fun and exciting. And they did. They really did. It's amazing. And so, so if the index is 100, it means every single one was, every item was there, and if it's 50, that meant 12 of the 24 were there. So if you just look at this quickly, the means and the medians, so the first three are for organic and the next three are for healthy food, you know, the mean index in Manhattan is 2 for organic products overall. Organic dairy is a little bit more available. And healthy food, still that number was pretty alarmingly low. 37 is the mean, and the median is even lower at 29, looking at these stores around Manhattan. So so we the map makers mapped these, and so the map on the left is our index of organic food, and the map on the right is the index of healthy food. So a few things pop up immediately. So the yellow dots and the green dots show where there is at least some organic food on that organic map. And so quickly you see that actually you can buy some organic food pretty much throughout Manhattan. But those red dot areas where there is not very much organic food seem to be more centralized in that area above Central Park, which tend to be lower income areas. And the healthy index, a different map maker made this one, and I have less control over her, so that map is a little bit harder to read, but the green basically is lower availability of healthy food, and as you go towards the red, there is higher availability of healthy food. And so it's kind of hard to see, but you can just believe me to say that healthy food is available a little bit more widely throughout Manhattan than organic food is. And so this brings me to the question that brought me here in the first place is how does this map with racial percent of black populations by census block. And so if you look at the organic map is on the left and the healthy one is on the right, you see that these yellow areas, the yellow dots and the red dots tend to be around the Upper East Side, the Upper West Side, and the bottom part of Manhattan, again, in areas that have a smaller percentage of black households, which you can see by the lavender rather than the dark purple shading of the census tracts. And it's a similar but I think better mapping for healthy food where the contrast is not quite as stark. And so I'm going to just skip over education just because I'm stressed about time. The correlations won't make any sense. So if you then we also looked at the education, and so this is from the American Community Survey for 2009, and so the darker the blue, the higher the level of education, and the lighter the color, the lower the level of education. And so organic food does again seem to be, you know, in areas with higher households with higher education. And I think the important thing is that healthy food doesn't seem to follow that same pattern. So there are some differences, which maybe shouldn't be surprising. So I love statistics, so I basically ran some correlation coefficients between my organic index and these demographic characteristics that I kind of rushed through in the maps, and the healthy index. And what you find here is that the organic index has kind of a nice correlation with the level of education. As education goes up, the correlation goes from being negative, kind of marches up, so it's negative 0.27 for less than high school. And then if you're in census tracts where most people have graduate degrees, the correlation is positive in 0.26. You don't really see any significant correlation between education and the healthy index. And the median income, which is the one on the bottom, there is a positive correlation between the availability of organic food and median income. And it doesn't really show up for this healthy index. These are puzzles I still have to work through. And for black households or census tracts, where black is reported as the sole race, there is a negative correlation between the availability of organic food. So what I'm finding is a lot of these organic food availability seems to match up pretty well with work I've done on organic consumers. But these things that I understand from the other literature about the availability of healthy food is once you start looking at the actual food items that are available, some of these statistical relationships seem to start falling apart. And that really means that more work needs to be done. And so I did some basic regression models, and they really corroborate what those basic statistics say, that if you look at this organic index and you map it or you model it with this healthy food index as a predictor, and then these variables on the percent of households with a high school education, the percent of households with some college, percent of households college grad, you get the idea, and the percent of households in a census tract that are black and per capita income, you know, the model fits okay. 25% of the variation is explained, but that also means 75% isn't. So there's some other factors here that are really not, you know, I'm missing something. And so the big question is, what am I missing? So I think at this point in time, I think we have a lot of kinks to work out, but I think we have a promising line of research that we can follow using this data set. And so the next steps that we're going to do is maybe to incorporate some methods of panel data, because we have multiple observations per census tract, and maybe that will make our results look a little bit more solid. And then we'll explicitly incorporate some of the spatial and analytical techniques where we put in the transportation network, zoning, land prices to see if we can account for any spatial factors that are really not behavioral. And I think one thing that we actually need to spend a fair amount of time on is looking at this relationship between the availability of healthy food and the availability of organic food. Like, you know, how do these fit together to talk about the food environment in Manhattan? And then our next step, one of my colleagues from Penn State collected data, similar data from Montgomery County, Maryland, and my colleague from Clark University collected similar data for Worcester, Massachusetts. So we have like three different areas to compare, and maybe we can try to find something, you know, insightful to say using the data that we have and the knowledge, you know, our knowledge combined. So thank you for listening. I know I rushed through that pretty quickly, so...